So just so you know, for the sake of the podcast, we've been doing a series of From the Holy Spirit, we've been interrupted somewhat, we're getting back on track now, and in the next 4 weeks we're going to be focusing on the gifts of the Spirit, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. And then we're going to look at some other stuff and finish the series of the Holy Spirit. So about the end of August, I think it's probably planned to be finished up. So if you've got your Bible, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I have the privilege this morning of being able to have my free choice of what gift to speak on. And I just by chance chose to speak on the gift of healing. So 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. We just pray now. Holy Spirit, we have given the whole series to focus upon you. We thank you you've been with us all through our worship, but you're always with us. But I pray particularly now that as I preach, as I share what Jesus has done for us, as I push into coming to you to see your Spirit of healing come upon us, I pray, Lord, that you're special with us, that you open our hearts and minds to you, that you find the people who are welcoming you in this place, and that we are going to see breakthrough in the name of Jesus this morning in many people's lives, both who are in this room and those who are outside of this room. As we preach salvation, and as we preach, we have a Spirit who heals today. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So, in this passage, we've got a long list of spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. There are others that are mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. But the key thing to mention for this verse is they are given for the common good, that they are purposeful. And they are specific. And this morning, I'm going to be focusing on the gift of healing that God is releasing to us as a community. And I want to start by painting the kind of big picture, to really ask the question, is why do we need to have a gift of healing today? Why do we need to see people healed today? In other words, why do we get sick? Why do we have injuries? Why do our bodies wear out with age? And to answer that question is going to require me to look through the whole of the Bible, which is God's word to us. And I'm going to start at the beginning, and I'm going to end at the end. I'm going to skip a few pages, because we're only here until 3 o'clock. So I'll start with that big picture. Then we're going to hear some recent stories about people who have been healed. And they want to equip us with and encourage us to pray for the sick. I'm going to ask that we receive the gift of healing. And then we're going to see the sick healed. And then we're going to have a coffee. So we'll start in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve are God's perfect humans. They're living in harmony with God, the world, and each other. They know that harmony in their lives. But as we know, they were then tempted by the devil to go their own way. They did that by eating the fruit that were told not to eat. They were disobedient in doing that. And the consequences of that were that they had pain, they had to labor, there was shame, there was enmity, there was strife, and death entered the world. None of those were part of God's original plan. He created created man and woman to enjoy him, to have that communion with him, to rejoice with him and go along with him, have peace with him. And the Bible often speaks about humankind of being part of Adam, or being in Adam's line. It's as if what Adam did in that garden, we all inherit, we all get tarred by the same brush, that we have been born into a fallen world. One where there is sin, one where there is pain, and one where there is death. And sadly, we just add to that ourselves. We ourselves go our own way and do our own thing. We are greedy, we are selfish, we are angry, we are violent. We know that we are broken. We don't know that peace with God. But God still has this heart to bring people back to him. And as we go through the Bible, we see so many times God trying to that, reaching out to his people to draw them back to himself. He wants that right relationship again. He wants to restore what it was like in the Garden of Eden so that man could have peace with each other and with the world. And he, in the Bible, starts speaking about this time and a place when that is going to happen. And this is right at the end of the Bible in Revelation. It's a place where we will have peace with God and we can enjoy God and each other. A place where he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. So God is wanting to bring us again into that place. A place that we perhaps call heaven, sometimes we call it the kingdom of God, and it's a place where God rules perfectly. Indeed, where there is imperfection. And to ensure that place of heaven, is always perfect, God judges who goes into it. And he only judges people who are perfect. But he doesn't want to affect his perfect place that we call heaven. And he has set a time for that judgment. We don't know when that will be. That place of heaven is a place for only the sinners, only the perfect, the clean. And we are racking up a pile of sin ourselves as we go through our lives. Not only do we inherit our sin from Adam and we bore Adam's life, we rack up our own sin as well. We are in trouble. There's no way that we can enter this perfect place that God has, that place of restoration, where God wants to have that relationship with us as he had with Adam and Eve in the beginning. And God has to act rightly. He has to be just. And the Bible reveals, we go through the Bible reveals that the punishment for sin is death. That blood must be shed. And in an amazing twist, God sent his own son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take upon our sin and to take upon himself the punishment that we deserve. Wow. That's what we celebrate at Easter. It's strange to celebrate the death, but in his death, he won a place for us. And those of us that have accepted that are called Christians. We are followers of Christ. We have said sorry to God for all the things that we, bad things that we have done. We've said sorry to God. We've turned our backs on that old way of life. And we are trying as hard as we can to live that life that God wants us to live. To live that life for him. And the Bible describes that we are now in Christ. When God comes on that judgment day, he doesn't look at us, he looks at Christ, his perfect son. doesn't look at us, he looks at Christ. And that is the heart of the Christian message. That we are able to enter that place of perfection because of what Christ has done for us. Not on our own merit. And it explains God's love for us, because while we were sinners, while we were undeserving, he still sent his son to die for us. And die in our place, to the punishment for that. Ian, how can you be sure of this? How can you be saying this? Well, there's one main thing I'll point to. And that is that a man came back from the dead. That when Jesus was brutally killed by an occupying Roman force in his land, he was laid to rest in a tomb. But 3 days later, he was seen alive again. And we celebrate that at Easter. Because he was sinless, death could not hold him. He took a punishment for other people's sin, but sin could not hold him because he himself was sinless. And he was able to be raised to life again by the power of the Spirit. And that's the evidence I have that all I'm saying here is true. That is the Christian message. Because of the resurrection, we stand or fall by the truth of the resurrection. That Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive today, and we can live in the truth of that. But we are in Christ, and he is living, and he is ruling today. He was the first person to experience the life of the future that God has in store for us, that future perfect life. He was the first man to experience heaven, the fullness of God's glory. He wants us to share with everyone else. That is the kingdom of God. And what everyone thought that God was going to do at the end of time, right over here, this perfection, this place of peace with God, just like the Garden of Eden in the beginning. God started doing something, not just at the end of time, but when Christ came, he started doing it in the middle of time. 2,000 years ago. This kingdom rule started to break in 2,000 years ago when Christ came, died, and was resurrected. And we now live in that period between those times. And we have this hope that we are going to be restored at the end of time into this place where we have peace with God. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. Full stop. But it's going to be better. We don't just go back to a perfect place. We now have a different relationship with God through what Christ has done. So when we go into this new heaven, kingdom of God, we are able to enjoy God and know God as our Father. Adam and Eve did not experience that. But we've been adopted by the Father into his family. And we can enjoy that relationship with God in this new heaven he has for us. And we are given, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, we are given glorious, imperishable bodies in that new life that we have in the future. And that future hope that we have there is able to break into our reality today, break into our current reality. Heaven is coming to earth. The kingdom of God, which we're fully going to experience, is coming to earth now and is expressed here. And that's why I've tried to tell you this story, this context. Because when we pray, when we release the gift of healing, we know there'll be perfection and no more pain, no more sickness in this future place. That's the future kingdom. We're praying that kingdom to come and break in now in our midst. To release the kingdom of God amongst us. Our ultimate security does not rest on the stock market. Does does not rest on the price of your house, does not rest on how England are doing or did in the football. It doesn't rest on our securities and our jobs. Our security rests in God, the one who has demonstrated his love for us and has proved himself to be faithful over many, many generations. We have this future hope. We are secure in that future hope. And in God's grace, we're even seeing some of that happen now. This future hope breaking in today. What a privilege we have to live in. And as we seek God, we ask the Holy Spirit to come and to release these gifts. We experience the kingdom of God, this future hope, even coming now today. When Jesus was on earth, he promised that his followers would do even greater things than he did. And he did some quite amazing things. But he was one person limited by time, by geography. As he returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit upon his followers to empower them to live their lives here. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our guide, our counselor, and the empowerer as he gives gifts to us. And now I am back to our start from this morning, that verse of 1 Corinthians. That is the gift that God is giving to us to empower us to live this life, to be Jesus into the world today. Jesus is back in heaven, but there are now 2.2 billion Christians in the world that are being called by God to act out and to be like Christ to all their worlds, all their environments that God's putting them in, all the communities, and they're being like Christ in that place. So the gift of healing and faith is where we are able to call upon God and ask that the Holy Spirit will come and bring into reality what's going to happen in the future, bring it into our reality now. We pray that heaven comes to earth. As we ask God to do that in our time, that we know that will happen in the future as well. The perfect kingdom rule of God can break in now. And we're increasingly seeing healings happen as we pray in Jesus' name for the Spirit to come and heal people. Just a couple of weeks ago here, there were a number of testimonies that were shared concerning healings that happened. I just want to invite John to come and share because he's going to remind us of a few of those stories. I actually wasn't here that morning, but I heard it on the podcast. And I'll say why I wasn't here in a moment. And he's going to explain what happened to him as he heard those stories of healing that were shared just 2 weeks ago here.
Good morning. I think you've got a few of you here, but most of you probably here. Okay. And I was kind of sitting there, what you do in church, and someone came up and they gave a testimony about their heat and knees being healed. And some vague eye, you know. Yeah, great. just kind of triggered in my head a verse which I like read once. So I googled it because my Bible knowledge isn't that great for those kind of random things. And it was in Isaiah 35, and I read what it says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. And I was like, oh, cool, that's about knees, and knees are getting healed. Probably isn't, like, really about knees, probably about something else, because I know that. But I thought, you know, it's quite nice, isn't it? Knees. And then somebody else came up and had a knee thing. And I was like, oh, knees. And then somebody else came and had a knee thing. And I was like, oh, this was good. Like, you know, I could sit there pretty smug in my Bible thing. And then the next verse says, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and firm. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God, and he will come and save you. And the next bit we came up talks about being set free from fear. And I'm now in like verse 1. But before being like, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. And I'm like, ah, this is fun. And then the next person comes up and says, oh yeah, I've been having sex there as well. And I'm like, hey, look, it's in your Bible. That's good, isn't it? And then there was some provision and recompense and stuff. And then so I was like, this is great. This is, I was like having my own private time. And then I kind of kept reading, and it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert, and burning tongues shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And it goes on to explain this incredible vista of what God's doing and what his kingdom is like. And I got quite excited about that because we've seen verses, if you look, so Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. But then you've got like verses 5, 6, and 7, like the blind see, and the lame walk, and then God's kingdom comes, and the places that have no life get full of life, and it's the same God. The same God who's healing weak needs can do those things as well. So I got quite excited about that. So then I told Ian, and that's why I'm here.
Thanks, John. But I wasn't here that way because I was preaching in Selby. That's working alongside our Regent Guild Church based in Selby. And as going down and preaching, I've been praying for some things to share in the church in addition to the preaching. And God spoke to me about a number of attitudes that I wanted to mention. But also, God highlighted, and I went with this word, that there's someone who had pain in eyes, and it was causing you to blink a lot. Eyes are mentioned in that prophecy. So after preaching, I invited people to come up and to receive prayer. I was just finished praying for a lady who was struggling with anger. And I looked across, and there was a lady called Bernie. She was the worship leader, and she'd just been praying for this girl with a bad neck. And you could see this girl was completely healed with this bad neck. Bernie had prayed twice, and suddenly this woman's doing this. And yeah, it's better. That's okay, isn't it? Is that good? Got a bad neck, it's great, it goes. Bless, that's great. And Bernie, I said to her, because she was like, oh, that's amazing. I said, is that the first time you prayed for someone to be healed? She said, yes. It's the first time I've seen you unhealed for something. So she was really excited by that, which was brilliant to see. And as I'm talking to her, I just finish off that conversation, there's this group that are gathered around a lady. And they wave over and they say, Ian, Ian, we found your blinking woman. So, this was a lady called Dawn, and I've since had correspondence with her just to get her the details, really, what happened with her. But she had an operation a couple of years ago in her eyes. Remember, the word was pain, eyes, and blinking. And she had surgery there, and there had been a problem with the tear duct, and it was her eye was too dry, constant dry eyes. And that morning, she was struggling to put on her eye makeup. And she prayed to God, please heal these eyes, why aren't they healing properly? And she felt God say, they are. So she comes to church with that. And then she says, you know, Ian was there, mentioned a few situations of healing, and my heart, and I quote this now, my heart started racing so fast. As he had said, something like, there's someone with an eye problem, but it's something to do with blinking. Brackets, it was that specific bit about blinking. 3 exclamation marks. But my heart beat faster and faster, the Holy Spirit was certainly speaking to me. I went out for prayer at the front, and I could see a little better. We prayed again and again as the vision became a little clearer. It's not perfect. I'm still struggling with some dry eyes and haze at times. But I know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is on my case. So that was fantastic to experience that happening there. When I share stories about healing, I want to be really authentic. I don't want to hype things up. So clearly, I've said there, she's now saying, I haven't been totally healed. I'm still pushing into God for that total healing. But she certainly encountered the Spirit that morning and went away different as she had there. But when we hear stories like that, when we increasingly hear stories here about people being healed, you can kind of stand on this side and say, I understand the idea, but that's not really for me. It's nice if it happens to you, but I've been disappointed in the past, and that's not really for me. I'm not going to be disappointed again, because basically I've got no expectation. I'll stop praying. And on this side, we have the situation where we have the kingdom of God. This future, perfect place where there's no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more death. We have this perfect, wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father in unity with Him, the people, and the world. And I want to stand here in this middle ground. And I want to invite you to journey with me in this way as well. This is the place where we want to see the kingdom of God break through. This future hope to come into this place now, where people are saved, where people are healed, where people are set free from all the sin and things that entangle them in this life. This is also the place where we experience frustration. We can experience disappointment. The kingdom has come. It is coming, but it has not yet fully come to us. And in this community, I've been praying for people for healing who have died. And that is the reality that we live in today. But I'm not going to wander down this way. I want to be pushing in. Come on, let's see what God is going to do. Let's give Him opportunity to work. Let's give opportunity for the kingdom of God to break into inside our lives today. We will receive that healing. It might be at the end of time, that glorious future of hope. It might be at the end of time. It might be in 10 minutes' time, or 10 hours' time, or 10 days' time, or 10 months' time. I don't know. Because God's in charge, not me. And we have a sovereign God who knows what's best. So this morning, we will as a community be praying for the sick and seeing what God will do amongst us this morning. But I also want to equip you so that even this week, you may be ready and prepared for one of your friends and neighbours this week. But when they say to you, oh, I've got a really bad knee, your first thought will be, am I crazy? We had this guy at church on Sunday, he was talking about healing. I heard this, someone was talking, they've been healed from healing. Can I pray for you? And you may be asking, well, how do I do that? How do I know whether I have the gift of healing? Well, I realized this week that you only know you've got a gift when you're called to use it. I've never seen that before, it's weird, isn't it? I didn't know I had a gift of healing until I prayed for someone to be healed. But you've got to do it. You've got to take that step of faith to see that happen. And we're going to pray this morning for you, if you want, to receive that gift of healing. Just pray. We're going to ask God. And if you say amen to that prayer, look out this week for an opportunity. We ask God for something, let's believe He's given it to us, and let's look for opportunities to use that gift as we go forward. So first thing we'll do if we're praying for someone is to just listen to God, open ourselves to God, tune into Him. And I find it really useful just to think down some things that I kind of think about and do sometimes, is Firstly, connect with them. If you don't know their name, just get their name. Just say hello and get established with them. Then ask what the problem is. Now question, listen, give empathy. And I try, you know, you're not there for full medical history. Personally, Latin names scare me. So, what Latin names? Sometimes you can ask someone, what can't you do? Sometimes people can't raise their arm up. So, what can't you do? I found something really, really useful, and I've mentioned this here before, is if they're in pain, ask them, say, I know it's difficult, but could you try and put that pain on a scale where 0 is no pain and 10 is really, really bad pain? I know it's difficult, but just help me, could you try and think whereabouts on that scale is your pain? And I'll come back to that number a bit later. So you know what the problem is, how bad it is. Raise faith in them now. Just explain what you're going to do. Explain God loves them. If you've got a story that you've heard of about someone being healed with that particular thing, it's great to share that then. Just explain that God can heal you today. What's going to happen. Then explain, just kind of put my hand on your shoulder, or if it's an appropriate place for the body, you've got that one out. Put a hand there or not. But just explain that so that people know what you're doing. And say that you may feel something as I'm praying for you. And then prayer. Just invite God's presence to come. And then speak to that situation. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that pain and say, go in the name of Jesus. You have authority to speak in that situation. And then see what happens. Look, observe, just look at it. The next step is, I think, the hardest thing. I want you to evaluate. I want you to say, how are you? It's really, really easy to pray great prayers for someone to have their leg unbroken, mended. And then say, great, and then walk away. It takes faith to say to them, how are you now? How is that pain? What's happened as we've been praying? Can you lift your arm further than before? And you'll find that their response falls within 3 different responses. The first one is that there will be total healing. Now, normally you don't need to be told this verbally. I remember, is Tony here? He's there. Tony, a few weeks ago, I remember the Martin conference, you were doing the river dance up here with his knees, being healed. You don't need to be told sometimes that someone has been totally healed, because they just express a wonder, that amazement of what God has done for them. That's brilliant. The second response that people can have is there's been a partial healing. And in this situation, I generally find they're a little bit embarrassed. They're embarrassed for you, because you come and pray for me, and well, basically you're not very good. You haven't healed me. Well, thank you for trying. Thank you for your efforts, but I'm only a little bit healed. I feel a bit better. Now, I have learned to totally change that around. And this is where that idea of a number comes in. So suppose someone, they've come to you and said, I've got pain and it's 7 out of 10. You pray and they say, oh, sorry, you tried your best. It's only 5 out of 10. It's 5 out of 10. You mean, we've been standing here and your pain has gone from 7 out of 10 to 5 out of 10. That's amazing, isn't it? And they suddenly think, yeah, it is. And that gives me faith to say, look, that's happened. Why don't we try again? Why don't we see if we get our pain down to nothing? And suddenly the light switches on and go, yeah, my God. Because God is at work. Even Jesus had to pray twice for some people. So next, if that does happen, you get a partial healing. A That's why that number thing really, really helps us, because it encourages race faith what to happen next. So let's pray some more. The third sort of response, you might get someone saying, actually, I haven't felt anything, there's no healing that's happened whatsoever. I offer to pray for them, I encourage them that God still loves them, I encourage them to keep praying for God, because healing does not happen instantly. It can take some time for healing to come, but just encourage them to keep pressing in to God. And then as they leave you, pray a blessing upon them. Perhaps if they don't know the church, but belong to something, if they know Jesus, we've got an Alpha Course starting September, October time. Just kind of, you know, connect with them in that particular way as well. And healing is a sign and a wonder. It makes you wonder at what's happened. That's amazing. I feel brilliant. It's a wonderful thing to happen. Also, it's a sign. It's a sign to the power of God in our world. And that's why I told you at the beginning the gospel message again. I refreshed our memory that there's a gospel message of hope. And that is what we, it is signposted as we see the kingdom of God breaking in now, particularly if it's breaking into people who don't know Jesus yet. We can signpost them to this future hope. We can explain to them that you can't get there yourself. You need someone to go on your behalf. You need to be in Christ. You need to explain the gospel message, as I did earlier. I wonder if I can just invite up now the music team. We're going to continue in our worship that now. And we may well find that as we worship, people receive something from God, maybe a word of knowledge from God. And there'll be an opportunity to share that in a few moments. And I've been praying this week that God really go beyond our expectations. And as we come into our time of worship, we want to be focusing on Jesus. And during that time, I'm going to pray for the release of the gift of healing for those people who want to receive that gift this morning. This is where you are. I don't have a big thing, but pray for it if you receive that gift. Then I'm going to have an opportunity for people who have words of knowledge. I've got a couple of those, and we also have got this one today. And then I'm going to pray over all of us, for anyone who needs a touch of God, needs healing, that the Spirit will come and heal you then. Now, I've always done this, and the last time I did it, I think it was here, I had a lady come up to me again and say, Ian, I was healed of back pain, which I had for 7 months. I was just healed as you pray over the whole of everyone. It's the Holy Spirit who heals. Okay? It's not the person who comes and stands for your praise. The Holy Spirit heals. The Holy Spirit can do that even as we stand up. And then at the end, I'm just going to invite people who want to invite the ministry team up. If you want to receive prayer, we'll stand with you for healing, and then we'll have coffee. As promised. So while we stand, we want to focus on Jesus now in worship. We thank him that it's all what Christ has done for us, is release the Spirit to us, with pressing to him for healing, so his kingdom of God come even now. It might be that you've never prayed today, it might be that you've prayed before. I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, come look. If you receive a gift, you have your hands out, kind of just a body response to that. But bear in mind that if you say amen, expect to see the sick this week. As God brings people across your path who need the compassion of God in their lives. We need to be shown the love of God for them. Because if you said amen, then that's you're the person. You're the person. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're present in this room. I thank you that you're a giver of amazingly good gifts. I spent the whole morning speaking about healing. There are plenty of others. And you see the hearts of people here who are wanting to receive that gift. I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you will impart that gift to those now. I mean, I also greedily ask for the gift of faith at the same time. But faith comes to act. Faith comes to mention something, to raise something, to ask something. Faith is released. We ask for that as your children, as your dearly loved sons of God, sons and daughters of God. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just as we come to offer to pray for people who are falling this morning, who need a touch of God, I particularly felt there was someone, if you've got a word of knowledge, just come out now. I particularly felt that someone who has a problem with their right wrist, make specific, it's right wrist. If you want to receive prayer, I'd be grateful for that this morning. And secondly, I've got an impression of a lady who was really suffering from anxiety. And the impression I had was they were looking out the window. They were out looking out the window for something. I believe God wants to meet with you this morning. Now, words of knowledge are great because they just raise faith for the person that responds to those words. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to touch anybody else. So even this morning, as we share, some guys here want to share, just be open to God. What is he going to do?
I just have the Holy Spirit to say there's some people here, there's someone here this morning.
Yeah. I just feel the same thing, so I just feel that one of the few people here in front of me, so I just confirm that God doesn't want to be speaking out of
them. I felt like someone had pain at the top of their neck, just, someone with sort of a rash or patchy skin in the arms, maybe in the bathroom, so you tell me. This is a really odd one to bear with me. If you had an allergic reaction to a cattle, I don't know. Then come up maybe about 2 weeks ago. Why did he say 2 weeks ago? Thanks, Marcus, for that. So, finally, I felt that I was a young person in a nightclub or a disco or something, you wonder why you're a person.
And also the word sleeping arrangement, maybe you haven't been getting enough sleep recently, it's kind of fading away of that.
I just want to throw it all open now. I just saw Ian with a twinkle in his eye, a little smile, and he's got his pen and his paper. And I felt God say, Ian, you can write whatever you want on that piece of paper, you know. It's a bit like Father Christmas. I mean, you know, I think, you know, we limit ourselves because we don't think we're the lucky ones. And we're standing here like it's the national lottery and our numbers maybe going to come up, maybe not. And actually, God would say, look, you can write whatever you want this way. You don't need a word of knowledge. There's nothing I can't do. And, you know, if you're a child at Christmas, you write your Christmas list for Father Christmas. You know, healing, God will heal whoever and whoever asks you. You know, he can heal whoever he wants to.
A really strong feeling this morning that somebody has a problem with their left leg, particularly in their shin area. Somebody's been experiencing lots of pain there. And maybe the same person, but I feel God saying it's different, also on their left knee, especially as you're putting pressure on and weight on your left knee, that God wants to bring healing to you this morning.
Wow. Now, sometimes the word of knowledge, particularly the word of knowledge, like a caterpillar reaction, no, I wasn't aware of it. But for some person, it may be, wow, that's just, and it just raises faith. But please, take hold of what James said as well. It's Christmas! God is able to heal anyone of whatever, whether you're in this room or out of this room. I'm just aware this podcast goes around the world. I'm not sure Dan knows the stats, isn't he, on how many countries this goes to. I'm in faith for people to be healed in 7 months' time in different countries as they hear this message of faith. The people I want to pray for who aren't able to be here today because of sickness, well, pray for them now. So, let's pray for healing across the whole body. This general prayer. If you've got pain and you're here this morning, if you've got pain and you're listening on the podcast, just put your hand, if it's appropriate, put your hand on that place of your body where you need God, the Holy Spirit, to come and bring healing. I'm sure pray for that to happen. We've had these words of knowledge. They're going to kind of help faith, raise faith and expectation. Let's look to God, what He's going to do this morning. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come upon us now. We come to you in faith and expectation. It's our loving Heavenly Father. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will touch people here that need healing. Tony, I speak to your Felty syndrome and say, in the name of Jesus, go. If you've got a friend or neighbour, family member, just not in this room, just raise a hand for them. Holy Spirit, we pray for those people who are outside this room at this moment. We pray, Holy Spirit, bring healing in the name of Jesus. Bring breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Bring your kingdom of God. This future hope, bring it into reality in our present now for your glory, King Jesus. And within this room, we speak to pain, I speak to information, and I take authority in Jesus' name and pray release now in the name of Jesus. Bring healing in Jesus' name. Pain, flee in the name of Jesus. I pray the stomach conditions. Be correct, be balanced, be right, be corrected in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Spirit of God. I pray for heads. Both headaches and both kind of tubes in the head, throats and ears, eyes, mouth, head. We speak wholeness and healing in Jesus' name. We pray an unblocking in the name of Jesus and relief to come in Jesus' name. You're so welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. You're welcome to have your way with us. You're welcome to release this gift to us, and for us, through us. You are our King. We bow our knee to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, you're going to show glory in the name of Jesus. We signpost, we wonder, we signpost through that gospel message that the way has been made. We can go back to Eden and then beyond some, as we know the Father God, that resurrected place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to invite you now, if you want to be prayed for, someone wants to come alongside you, we'll have our ministry team come out first. They all put some badges down here as we pray and to know that they've been authorized by the church to pray. Please come down. If you particularly want to respond to a word of knowledge that was shared, sometimes it's great to kind of go and see that person because they've heard from God for you. And we'll just see what happens at Tobo.
I believe there's somebody who had a pain at the bottom of your back and you think it's your kidneys. I stood at the back there and I got this real sensation that somebody was really struggling. Got a pain at the bottom of your back, just about here. And then, as you know, in a lot of cases, you automatically think, something wrong with the kidneys. God is here. God is here. The Spirit is here. Whatever you've got, doesn't matter. He is here to heal.
Yeah.
And as he was saying, my day. But that's simple. Many years ago, I had cracked my back in the army. And I was left. And the pattern on this side down here. I was in Louisiana, of course, it was no good for them. Hey, when they were. But over the years, people prayed for my back. There was one time that somebody prayed for me. I thought, yeah. And what I won't know he has healed me. You could stick any prayer, just let that side, and I wouldn't feel it. You could stick a knife in there, and I wouldn't have felt it. You could stick a pin in there, and I wouldn't have felt it. Try sticking a pin in there now.
Thanks, Dave. Great. So the band are going to continue in worship. Please do come up. People sit at the front for a while. Now just bear in mind, those who have children, they need collected in about 30 seconds. Do the thank the guys coming up.